Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
I have been waiting 9 months to tell you this story. Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. It is Free for All Friday. Tuesdays and Thursdays, we talk about apologetics, theology, how to explain and defend the Catholic faith. But on Fridays, we talk about whatever interests me. And there's only one little 7-pound thing that interests me right now. His name is Mr. John Paul Horn, and he was born. See, I'm doing the baby talk thing. I can't help it, though, when there's a baby nearby. And of course, when there is my wonderful wife nearby as well to tell the story of the birth of our third child, John Paul Horn. So if you were following me on social media, you might have seen on September 10th, I posted on Facebook and Twitter just a quick update with pictures, talking about Gloria Jesus Christ, that my son John Paul was born unintentionally at home. This is something I was not expecting in the slightest. And so I've had the chance to tell the story to a few people here in the office and to family and friends. And so I thought, why not tell the story here on the Council of Trent podcast? But of course, the story would not be complete without the person who really did all the heavy lifting, so to speak, involved in the matter. Her name is Laura Horn. She is my better half. Laura, I am so glad you're here today.
Hi, Trent. It's really good to get out and to see you for the first time in 4 days.
Right. People are always like, oh my gosh, is it so hard having a new baby at home? Like,
no, it's the other kids. It is when it's your first, for sure. You're like, I'm going to die.
Remember when we had Matthew? We were such cream puffs before we had Matthew.
No, 0 to 1 is so hard. I didn't sleep for 5 days. I was hallucinating. But now I'm like, oh my gosh, give me a newborn any day.
I know. When we had Matthew, you were so tired one day. You took him out of the room. You put him in my lap when I was doing my remote class for Holy Apostles College. This is when I was getting my master's degree in philosophy. So you just put him on my lap and you went to bed. And this is a live class where I had to join in and do Q&A. And I was trying to hide him. I would mute my microphone when he cried and I would try to hide him on my lap. But if you attend Holy Apostles College and take, I think it's ancient philosophy with Smith, you have to listen to pre-recorded lectures. You may catch me there with Matthew popping his head up. So yeah, it was harder then, but now just like, my gosh, little John Paul, he's a champ. He just eats, sleeps for several hours, poops, rinse
yeah.
and repeat.
Yeah, and then also just the expectation is different. Like, I understand that I'm not going to get sleep, and I was really used to getting sleep before. So this time I know, like, everything comes in a phase, and it'll end. So eventually they'll sleep. So, yeah, it's definitely – the meanest thing is when you're in the hospital that first night, the newborn sleeps – so well, and they wake you up so much in the hospital. It's really like those first 2 days, the child sleeps so much, and you can't sleep if you're in the hospital.
Right. It's just like, oh, good, I can finally sleep. Hi there, just doing our rounds and checking. And of course, I was there every time they would come in. I was sleeping on the little fold-out couch. They would do that as well. But let's talk then about the story of John Paul's birth and go through it, because for those of you who didn't know, as I referenced earlier, our child, we had a home birth, but we weren't planning on having a home birth.
I was, just kidding,
oh my
a little
gosh.
Bit, actually.
I think you were. So I wanted to go through the story to explain to everyone what happened and just go through it step by step. But let's give some backstory then. So with Matthew, you had like a 48-hour labor.
Yes, I did. It was 50 hours plus, probably. So I went into labor on your birthday in the morning.
That's right.
And I had him 2 days later.
And I remember
at
that
2 p.m.
because you started going into labor the night of my birthday. And I had gone to Fuddruckers and had
active labor. Yeah, I started contracting. He was the wrong position, so my body like started out
right.
Pretty. But I knew we had taken Bradley, so I knew it was like not the real thing. It could last a really long time. I just didn't think it'd last that long.
You get so lazy though as you go on with children. Like for Matthew, we spent like 5 months going to classes to prep. And then now with John Paul, we're like, oh man, we got to go to the hospital. I hope I packed something.
For sure. Yeah.
We're like, I kind of remember how to have a baby. So I remember with Fuddruckers, yeah, I had a 1-pound burger and a chocolate shake and extra fries. And so that night you're going to labor, you're like, oh, and then I would match you and go, oh, Laura,
yeah,
I'm 3 centimeters.
Super mad.
Like, you're not allowed to be that way. All right. So pre-rec, that was like 50 hours of labor.
Yeah, it was. Stalled in 8 for 8 hours. Like, just was, it was a hard labor. It was called labor, for goodness sake.
Okay. Thomas, our second child, that was what, like 8 hours?
Yeah, Thomas was about, I had an appointment at 2 and I was That kind of threw me into labor at my appointment. And then he was born 10 p.m. that night. So, yeah. But it was about 3 hours of, like, really active, like, scream labor. So you can explain what I'm usually like. But about 3 hours of really hysterical, crazy labor.
Yeah, because we showed up at the hospital, and you were definitely feeling the contractions in the car. And then we got there, and you thought, oh, my gosh. Like, you thought you were probably going to be at an 8 centimeters dilated, something
yeah,
like
for
that.
Sure.
And you get there, they said, what was it? You were a 4.
I was a 4.5. And then I yelled an expletive. And then they actually moved me out of triage into labor and deliver into a postpartum room. They were out of rooms. And they're like,
they just had to get you away from the other pregnant women.
Out of triage. I mean, yeah, it was not a very graceful experience, but I was so, so, so grateful that, I finally got my natural childbirth, because with Matthew, I ended up getting an epidural after
right.
I stalled so long. And then I was not, so I've had it both ways, natural and unnatural, and I much prefer the natural childbirth, actually. But I was so, so, so grateful at the end that
I got my natural childbirth. Well, unnatural, you mean medically assisted.
Epidural versus non-epidural.
Right.
Yes.
So Matthew had an epidural. Thomas, you did not have the epidural, and we talked through that, and our doctor got you through that. But it's important to show with the labors. It was 50 hours. Then it was like 8 hours, a lot of time. So that brings us back up to the present then. So on Thursday, on September 10th, you had been having false labor for a while. That's what was throwing us off.
I had prodromal labor, yes. And I had it with Thomas for 36 weeks plus.
Yeah.
And, I had a natural childbirth before, and it feels exactly like the early stages of labor. So I thought that I was going into labor for about a week before, and it's very exhausting. They were waking me up at night even. Every night I'm like, maybe this is a night.
And then we didn't go in. And it's hard because he was overdue by a few days.
Yeah,
and,
my first baby overdue.
And that morning I was telling my coworkers, I think we're going to have to induce. I don't know when this kid's going to show up. So we didn't know because you kept having false labor. Then at around 7 o'clock, now your mother is in town, and so she was watching the kids at the house, and we just went on a walk around the neighborhood.
And that's when you knew
it was starting.
Yeah, we went to go get sushi, and I was really grumpy because I thought I was in labor, and I wanted to be in labor. I wish I could will myself into labor. And my mom wanted me to drive, and I was really grumpy. And and she noticed a change in my mood, and she's
right.
like, maybe this is it because Laura's more grumpy than usual. So, but I wanted to be in labor. And then when I started driving, it completely stopped.
Oh.
So then I thought it was more
prodromal
labor.
So that was earlier than 7. That was like at 5 o'clock.
No, you came home at 6.
Okay. But you got sushi before that.
No, I got it at 6.
At 6.
Sorry,
okay,
we
so
can
around,
edit this out if you want.
we're trying to recollect our events here. It's okay. We're not doing a deposition for a court hearing.
Right.
So we had dinner. We had sushi. Then we went on the walk at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Yes. So, and then, but then I couldn't walk through the contractions. So I thought I'm actually probably in the early stages.
Yeah, I remember the house we were staying in front of, and like you could not keep walking. And
I was in the middle of the road, and a car was coming, and my neighbor was watering the lawn. I was like, I can't move out of this street. Here it is. Good. Put me out of my misery, car.
Right. So then I thought, okay, this is it. But I thought it'd be like Matthew or Thomas, like, okay, we probably have like another 8 or 9 hours. Of this.
Yeah, at least 3 or 4.
At least 3 or 4. So
I did not want to go to the hospital.
Totally.
So I don't know if you want to share more about that.
That you didn't want? Well, yeah, because we were concerned with the COVID protocols. And actually, I think it's next week. I'm doing a free-for-all Friday just talking about COVID-19 protocols that make no sense to me. And the hospital had several of those. So we just wanted to minimize our time being in the hospital. So we thought, okay, well, when it's just nicer. And honestly, I think you would say it's nicer to labor at home as opposed to laboring in a hospital.
Very much so. And I actually did want a home birth. A few times we had waffled back and forth between switching to a home birth based on the policies. And we decided not to, since I have a clotting disorder. It was kind of late in the game also.
Well, here's my thing. I was okay with a home birth if you could guarantee that nothing would go wrong.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah, that's
true. I'm totally okay with home births, provided nothing goes wrong. I just like the hospital. I don't like hospitals. I just like the fact there's stuff there in case things go wrong.
I know, but nothing went wrong. Woo! So home birth from now on.
Did it go wrong? Did something go wrong?
No, I just gave birth. That's all that happened. Everyone's like, oh my goodness, look at her.
Oh, John Paul, do you want to say something? I heard him a little bit. If he has anything else to say, he can share it too. So we were getting in there. I had the bags packed. But I figured it'd be another few hours. So I had the bags packed. I had them in the car. And we were just in our bedroom. The kids were watching TV. Then your mom started to put them down. And this was 7:45, 7:50. We were getting past 8 o'clock. And it just felt like, okay, you're...
Yeah, I took a shower. You came in. You were like, we should probably go.
Yeah, you were just... But you were just in the shower, not clean up. You just wanted the soothing hot shower.
But I said, I secretly did want a home birth. So I said, okay, guardian angels, please watch over me. If I'm supposed to... And I told all my friends, I'm going to have a secret home birth. And they're like, you're way too crazy to pull that off. Like, everyone will know when you're in labor. And I proved them that I'm crazy enough to have Just kidding.
Okay, so I don't think you really...
No, I didn't. So then I prayed to the guardian angels, like, okay, I'm going to let Trent make that decision when we need to go to the hospital. Because I don't want to get there too early, kind of like we did last time. But then I don't want to go too late. And then if something does happen, then that's on my conscience. So I really left that decision up to you. Right.
And I was based on the timing of your contractions, based on your emotional state compared to the previous pregnancies, I felt confident, okay, we still have another few hours until the baby's going to be born, at least like 2 or 3 hours. So I wanted to wait a bit more. But then when it was getting closer to about 8:15, 8:20, you just like let out, you called it what, the goat moan?
Yeah, murdered goat moan.
you just really like let out this moan. And I just thought, oh no. And that's when I said, we probably need to go now. And then your water broke.
Yeah, at that point, I was like, it helps to push back against the pain, not realizing that I was pushing
the baby out. So then your water broke. And that's when like my heart dropped. I was like, oh no, 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 no. Because here's the thing. You guys listen to the podcast know I'm a prepper. I prepare for things. I have an emergency kit in my pantry. I have iodine tablets in case there is a nuclear disaster to take them to avoid contracting thyroid cancer. I have prep for other stuff. But you know the one thing I didn't prep for, ladies and gentlemen? I cannot believe it. I didn't prep for a home birth.
But I had told you, I want a home birth.
And I know,
no one listened to
me. But here's why I didn't prep for that. Because when you said, Trent, I want to give birth at home, or you said, what if I accidentally give birth at home? Like you secretly wanted that. I said, no, we're not giving birth at home because we were worried about the COVID-19 protocols. And I said, here is what is not an option. You cannot give birth at home without a medical professional. I'm okay with a certified midwife being there with emergency supplies. I'm totally okay with that if we had switched to that at the last minute. But I told you, the one thing we cannot do is give birth at home with just you and me. I'm absolutely against that. And because I was so against it, Laura, I didn't even entertain it. So I was totally unprepared for when your water broke.
That's true. And I was pretty prepared only because I had entertained the thought of that. I did not entertain the thought of it giving birth actually without a midwife there, like unexpected before the hospital. But I had entertained like actually birthing at home since I had wanted to make that transition.
Right.
So for me, I think I was a lot more like relaxed. And I wish we had a copy of the 911 call. But at that point when my water broke.
I'm still waiting to hear on that. So your water broke and I said, do I need to call 911? And you said yes.
In the past, no, I said call an ambulance. Yeah.
So then I got him on the phone. Called 911. I had the phone. I remember it now distinctly. Phone on my left hand. Here's what happened. I was sitting at the foot of our bed in our bedroom. You were kneeling on the ground. Well, you were like, had your knees down, your hands on my...
Like I was praying.
On my knees, like you were praying. And so you were kneeling in that position to labor. And what was interesting was I could see your posterior, if you will. I could see what was happening through the mirror in our closet. Because our closet bedroom, our bedroom closet, our sliding mirrors. So I could see your face, how you're transitioning, but I also saw like the baby is coming out. And so when the 911 operator picked up, I said, 911, what's your emergency? I just blurted out, I need an ambulance at 123 anywhere street. I need an ambulance. And I gave my address. And then I said, I need an ambulance. My wife is in labor at da, 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 da. And I said, I need an ambulance. And my wife is in labor. And I gave the address twice so they would know. And then I ran and I grabbed a red towel from the linen closet right outside our door, put it on the ground. I put the phone on speaker and it was on the bed. And then when I came around to see you, John Paul's head was sticking out.
Yeah, it was really, might be like my water breaks usually as I'm like giving birth.
Right.
So it was probably 10 seconds after
he
that.
He was born in the span of less than a minute. So his head was out. I hear the 911 operator on the phone. So I cupped his head with my left hand and then you gave one more big push. And then with that one big push, he just slid right out. I grabbed his back and his backside with my right hand. But for about 3 or 4 seconds, I was terrified because he was not moving. He wasn't crying and he wasn't moving. And so I was like, I didn't say he wasn't breathing. I think I said,
he's not crying.
I said, he's not crying. And so I jostled him a little. I didn't shake him. I just jostled him lightly. But I was like 1 second away from turning him over and swatting his back with my right hand. But I was really freaked out. But then I jostled him and his eyes opened up and he looked around with his eyes. And at that moment, I knew it was going to be okay, that he was conscious, he was alert. And then he let out a cry and I just had such a sigh of relief.
Yeah. And I was like, Trent, it's okay. I'm okay. The baby's okay. Pass him through.
But you weren't the one holding him right there.
Don't pull on my cord.
Right? Yes.
I was really concerned you were going to like run with him.
No, where was I going to go? I got to get this kid out of here. And so so I passed him under your legs to you. He's still connected by the umbilical cord. They just said, wrap him up in a towel, put something on his head, keep him warm. I grabbed another towel. We wrapped him up. And he was fine. And then the 911 operator started to give me instructions on how to cut the cord. Now, the paramedics were on their way. We got lucky, actually. So I called 911. A fire truck and an ambulance were already out on the road. So from that call, they made it to our house in about 4 minutes.
Yeah, it was amazing.
But it's amazing. Even in that amount of time, he was already born and wrapped and done in that amount of time. But they were there. In 4 minutes after he was born, they told me, go to the door, open the front door. So they came in. And so, before they got there, though, I was getting ready to think, how am I going to cut the cord? And they said, you need something to bind it. So I was getting ready to take the shoelace.
But we always wait till it's done pulsating anyway. I wasn't as concerned about that, but I don't know.
I mean, we could have waited. Once I got my head together, I would say this. I was, and you could assess this in my psychological state, and you could be honest. I would say, I was scared, but I still had my wits and composure.
Yeah, I've definitely never heard you be that rattled for sure, but you definitely still had your wits and composure. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't hysterical. I wasn't irrational. I was scared because, and honestly, this is for anyone who listens, when you're in an emergency situation, the way to not be scared in an emergency situation is to have run it through your mind and done prep work over and over and over again. Like when I went on that Alaska cruise.
But you were just very loud.
Well, I'm a loud person.
No, it was extra loud. My wife is
Well, like when I went on the cruise to Alaska, I practiced at night how I would get my life jacket on in the dark. You know, if only I had practiced.
Oh my goodness, I was pregnant and overdue with my third child. Did nobody think that this was going to happen quickly?
I didn't want to indulge it. So I was prepared if the paramedics did not come. I was going to take the shoelaces out of my shoe to bind the cord in two places. And then just take a steak knife and cut the umbilical cord.
A steak knife?
What else would I cut it with?
Well, that's not sterile. Just wait a few minutes, for goodness sake.
What does it matter? It's the umbilical cord. Like, once it's tied off.
I think it needs to be sterile. Is that not why? Well, I guess I should really know this.
Oh, well, what I would have done is I could take a knife and we have rubbing alcohol. We still have it. Don't you dare loot our house to that rubbing alcohol. I know you can't find it anywhere. I could take a knife and I pour rubbing alcohol on it. That would sterilize it.
Well, next time.
Next time. Okay, if the paramedics don't show up. So I did that, but thankfully the paramedics came in, and actually it was nice there. I felt like once they were there, I could dial back, take a step back, and I took out my phone because I knew you would want pictures of this moment because you had a friend actually who had a surprise home birth and no one took pictures.
Yes, that was a true emergency home birth. So yeah, I mean that's it was an incredible experience for sure. But she doesn't have it captured. So I'm very grateful that you thought of that.
Yeah, I knew like, okay, it'll be good. Let's get this. So took the pictures. The paramedics came in. I cut the cord with their scalpel. They had the little plastic clamps. And then they had a gurney out. And then they put you on the gurney because you still had to deliver the afterbirth.
Yeah. The whole time I was just really concerned that I wasn't wearing pants.
Oh, yeah, you're telling the paramedics, I'm not wearing pants.
People, and you know what's funny is I'd run through this situation many times in my mind about giving birth at home. But the one thing that I could not figure out was pants. And so I think that I was so concerned about this because that was the one thing that I couldn't figure out in my mind beforehand.
Well,
so
you needed something like
so
a
skirt.
So they're
like, we'll give you a few minutes to get dressed. And I'm like, that won't do. I changed like 4 times.
I know the paramedics said, ma'am,
like,
we really
ma'am,
need
we
to
really
go.
Need to go. And I'm like, in a dress, but I can't nurse in that. But then I still have my cord hanging out. So I'm like, I'm sorry, I did not. I don't know what to wear. So finally I settled on a black skirt and a shirt.
And it worked. So then they put you on the gurney. I washed all the new baby juice off of my hands. And then I wrapped him up, but I took him because I knew that the kids, so right during when all this was happening, the kids, I think Thomas was with your mom and Matthew was in his bedroom.
Yeah, Matthew was very outgoing. He always wants to be part of the party, but he was really scared.
He was scared.
Just the two pushes.
Because
the two
of hearing
push
you,
murdered goat.
Hearing you yell like
yeah.
that.
And then, yeah, so, and he didn't know. So I asked him the next morning, like, what were you doing? He's like, I was just reading to myself. You know how I love to read.
you know how I love to read. So I wanted to make sure they knew everything was okay. So I took John Paul. I showed him to Thomas, and he thought he was the cutest thing. And then I showed him to Matthew, and Matthew just fell backwards in his bed like, I can't believe he was born right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and then the next day on FaceTime, he's like, I did not think that that baby would be born in there. We're like, neither did we.
Neither did we, kid. And Thomas, so cute, when we all left, he got sad because he was like, where'd my baby go? And when the ambulance drove away. And so then it was nice, actually, I already had the car packed. So they wheeled you on the gurney into the ambulance, and they drove, and the ambulance took us to the hospital, because the hospital we wanted to do the birth at was like 25 minutes away. We live 5 minutes away from a hospital, but we chose another
hospital. But
it wasn't
in network, yeah.
It wasn't in network. And so they actually took us to our hospital that was in network. I am sure I'm going to be charged for labor and delivery, though. I'm challenging
for
that.
Sure.
That is ridiculous.
I did not labor or deliver
that
there, but they will.
If I get charged for labor and delivery, I want to get paid for labor and delivery because I delivered. I caught that baby with my hands. I delivered. And I will give you this, though, Laura. I never want to do that again, but it was really cool. And I will always remember catching my son as he was born to deliver my own son.
Yeah, I will say
that. And
I'm
grateful to God. Nothing went wrong. It was just it was a standard birth. It was fine. And so I'm just so grateful it all turned out okay.
Yeah, my babies are always the wrong position. And we have prayed, my mom prayed very fervently that this baby would be right the right position. And it was. So
it was an
I'm
easy
very
birth.
Grateful
he,
for that.
He went out quickly. And it was just easy. He's starting off life as a very easy baby. I love him.
Yeah, he's a super good baby. He is very, yeah. And then it's funny. We arrived at the hospital. Someone was like, oh my gosh, he is not afraid.
I'm like, that's why we named him John Paul. Be not afraid. He's being born in the midst of a pandemic. I love John. I love Paul. I figure why not, you know, put them together.
At that moment though, I was so happy. Oh, and then we would go outside and all our neighbors are cheering.
So you were wheeled out on the gurney. And our neighbors were outside because they saw a fire truck, an ambulance, and they were worried. They were scared something had happened to you. But then they were wearing masks and they were all clapping. They clapped when I came out, like shirtless, like Tarzan man. Well, people are always like,
it was the best because you were wearing jeans. There's just something about like a shirtless man in jeans. Like, what?
Here's my baby. Here's my baby. I call him Bubba. Here's my baby. So I was just holding it. Well, people are always like, if the baby doesn't do skin-to-skin contact the second after it's born, it'll never love another human being.
Totally.
If it doesn't have
the golden hour. 1 hour.
If he doesn't do skin-to-skin contact, he'll grow up like one of those Romanian orphanage babies. He'll be a feral, wild child. So I just did, because I wanted to, and I love that with our other kids, just like do skin-to-skin. Let him know I'm right there and talking to him. So I walked to the door and I showed him off and people were like, what is he? Or like, is it a boy or girl? What is he? And I just shouted back, he's a baby. And then I brought him back to you and we got it. And then he got back to you to nurse and then they wheeled you into the ambulance.
That ambulance ride was pretty uncomfortable, I will say.
Why?
Oh, why? Because I had just given birth.
Yeah.
And I hadn't gone through the third stage of labor yet. And
it's just like, these paramedic dudes.
Totally. Like trying to make conversation where I'm like,
let's just talk. Pay no attention to what's happening south of the equator. Let's keep it North America up here.
Totally.
Preferably Newfoundland.
In fact, actually not even North America as I nurse a baby.
That's true. Let's keep it above the Arctic
totally.
Circle. Above the Arctic Circle, my friends. So, but then I followed you in the car. And it was funny during that. I just called my mom and dad because I wanted somebody to talk to after having gone through this experience. I mean, it was a lot. I'm gonna need some time to myself after. It was quite the ordeal for me. I mean, you might have had an ordeal too, but
oh yeah, Trent's after birth pains are just the worst. He's like, I'm gonna go down to the cafeteria. I'm really hungry after that. Like, what?
Well, I needed a double cheeseburger because I think I'm iron deficient after the birth. Yeah, so, no. Whenever I go to the
hospital, he wants to nap the next day or sleep in. I'm like, oh my goodness.
No way. When it comes to births, there's one you say like, oh, should we do a home birth? The problem with the home birth is the one thing I do love at the hospital is ordering from the cafeteria.
It is so magical having someone to cook for you.
And then every day you can order. And the hospital we went to had like unlimited trays for the patient. So we'd order one for you, be like, my wife is still hungry. And you were, you'd have the side salad. And I'm just like, wow, where else can I get pancakes and bacon and sausage?
Not at home, that's for sure.
Well, you could go to Denny's. Yeah, but I want to go to somewhere clean, so I'd rather go to the hospital. So we were there and we just stayed for 24 hours and the kiddo is, he's doing just fine. And
yeah, he's perfect. I was just so happy because there was a lot of policies that I thought would hinder you from being present at the birth.
Right. Because and I'll talk about this next week on Free For All Friday, but just give a sneak peek of that. If Laura had tested positive for COVID-19, they would have told me to leave.
And they test me right when I arrive.
They test you when you arrive. And if she was positive, they would have told me to leave. So I might have missed. And some people have missed the birth of their children during the pandemic. But it was very providential. Not only did I get to be at the birth of my child, I got to do the birth. I got to deliver my child and handle the birth with my wife. And so I'm just grateful to God that it all worked out. I'm thankful to everybody's prayers during this time. So it's fun. We got the new baby at home. I'll be doing a few more episodes this week and next. But expect pretty soon I'm going to be taking a little paternity time, some time with I love what Matthew calls him, John Paul.
John Paul?
So it's not John Paul, it's like John P-O-L-E, tells him, little John Paul.
But they love him. They do. It's so funny. I really thought they would become disinterested or, you know, be a little jealous, but they are not at all. It's been really a gift.
No, they want him around. They love to cuddle with him. So do take note, probably sometime in October, I'll be taking it like probably 2 weeks off, my little paternity time, but then new episodes will come after that. So, all right, everyone, that was our birth story. Now you know the whole story to share. Say a prayer, continue for our family. You got something? Nope. Almost. He sounds like a little cat. He's such a squeakers. I love it. So do keep saying prayers for our family and for the podcast. If you want to be able to help out the podcast to grow and expand, be sure to leave a review at iTunes and Google Play. That's an easy way to help people learn more about the podcast. And if you want to support the podcast, which supports now not just two children, but three children, as part of everything here at Catholic Answers, everything we do has to pay for itself. So you can help with that by becoming a donor, a supporter at TrenthornPodcast.com. You can either give monthly for as little as $5 a month. You get access to bonus content. Or I think it's for $51 a year. You get a discount if you're an annual giver. You get access to that bonus content. Check out all that and more at TrenthornPodcast.com. Mrs. Horn, any other last thoughts on our unusual but very blessed birth of John Paul?
Yes. I'm excited for your COVID-19 episode because I think it'll also give a nice background as to what it's like to give birth in a hospital right now. So I think, you know, I'm excited to hear that one too.
Oh, yes. And we have a lot more COVID-19 rules. You might not have as many where you live in the country, but we live in the great state of California. So more on that next week for Free For All Friday. Thank you guys so much. It's been a real treat. I hope you enjoyed hearing this birth story of ours. Keep praying for us, and we hope that you all have a very blessed day.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrenthornPodcast.com.